for one last Sunday. I'm going to invite you to turn in your Bibles to John chapter 16. We've described it as a most incredible statement, truth, and yet near unbelievable truth. John chapter 16 and verse 5, "Now I am going to him who sent me. Because I have said these things, you are filled with grief." Of course, the disciples would be 3.5 years with Jesus, and now he's leaving. They won't see him anymore. They won't be with him anymore. Maybe better to consider it from the alternate perspective. He won't be with them anymore. I believe that one day with Jesus, and I feel this news would have filled them and or us with grief. Just one day would be enough to make us to realize we don't want Jesus to go from us. "Because I have said these things, you are filled with grief, but I tell you the truth." Again, do you understand this morning, even as indescribable as it is, believe it or not, this is still the truth. It is for your good that I'm going away. Unless I go away, the counselor will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. It's not what the preacher says. It's not what the Pentecostal church says. Some fringe element of Christianity, what the crazy Christians say. No, it's not that at all. It's what Jesus says. It's good that he goes so that the Spirit can come. It's what Jesus says. It's the truth. Better than Jesus in the room with us is Jesus returning to the one who sent him so that he can send to us the Holy Spirit. It's been the message for a few weeks now, the truth. How important, how necessary, how vital it is for us to know, to make room for, to experience the person and the work of the Holy Spirit. So again, for one more Sunday, the Holy Spirit. We began this morning, as we've begun throughout, who the Holy Spirit is. Let me share with you three things this morning. First, this: the Holy Spirit, he's the gift of the Father. It's the perfect gift of God, the greatest gift of God outside of salvation. In Luke chapter 11 and verse 11, "Which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" Many in the church, mostly related to their perspective, even their opinion of the Holy Spirit, their experience with the Holy Spirit, or people that labeled themselves a people of the Spirit, maybe their experience with them, maybe even, best to say, mostly related to their comfort, sort of whether or not they want the Holy Spirit welcomed in their lives or in their church gathering. Many in the church have decided they want nothing to do with the person or the work of the Holy Spirit. It's too much. It's too emotional, it's too fanatical, it's too out of control, it's too uncontrollable, it's too uncomfortable, it's too weird, it's too awkward. Do you understand this morning the truth from Luke's gospel? Any church, listen, my brother, my sister, any church, listen, do you hear New Life? Any church, any Christian that responds that way to the Holy Spirit excludes themselves from receiving, listen now, God's perfect gift. Again, the greatest of God's gifts. Outside of salvation, In that sense, then, the question becomes, why would a church, why would a believer ever want to ignore or neglect the person and the work of the Holy Spirit? Why would a church, why would a believer ever refuse him? Why would any church or any believer ever refuse any gift from God? You understand it even as I do. All of us would echo the same response, the same answer. God wants to give me the gift of a lot of money? Yes, I'm in. I'll take it. God wants to give me the gift of promotion? Yes, I'll take it. God wants to give me the paradise vacation? Yes, I'll take it. And on the list goes, right? Listen, Scripture is clear. The truth, James chapter 1 and verse 17. Every good and perfect gift is from above. If it's a good gift for you, even a perfect gift for you, if you ever get that, it's only because the Father has given that to you. And never mind just the earthly and temporary pleasure gifts that are great, that we sure enjoy. Listen, God's gift, He's given you the gift of salvation. He's given you the gift of forgiveness, of amazing grace and immeasurable mercy. He's given you the gift of His joy, His peace, that circumstances can't affect and that this world can't take away. He's given you the gift of new life. He's given you the gift of eternal life, the gift of heaven, an everlasting inheritance there with Him. Listen, God's gift, He's given you His Son. The earthly, the temporary, God's gifts, yes, I'll take them. I want them. I need them. The inside, the heart stuff, the spiritual, the eternal, the truly important things, God's gifts, yes, I'll take them. I want them. I need them. But God's gift that is His Holy Spirit? No. That's too weird. I'm just trying to be a normal Christian. That's more for the crazy ones. Listen, all of God's gifts are perfect and good. Why would we say no to any of them? Why? How could we ever say no to the gift then that is His very own Spirit? Truth be told, God has given us so much. He wants to give us more. More of it all the good and perfect gifts He would and could give. John chapter 3 and verse 34, we read this, that God, He gives the Spirit without measure, without limit. Listen, the truth, He wants to give us more, more and more and more. Listen, my brother, my sister, you need to hear that this morning. You need to understand the heart of your good, good Father. He wants to give you. Has He given to you? Yes, He has. He wants to give you more. And guess what? On top of that, He wants to give you still more and more and more and more. He wants to give to us without measure, without limit, the person and the work of His Holy Spirit. In Acts chapter 1 and verse 4, on one occasion while He was eating with them, He gave them this command, do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift My Father promised, which you've heard Me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. My brother, my sister, listen, it's the truth this morning. He wants to give you the gift. Do you understand? He wants to baptize you today in His Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit who He is. He's the gift of the Father. Second, this morning, He's the ministry of the Son. Matthew chapter 3 and verse 11, these are the words of John the Baptist. I baptize you with water for repentance, but after Me will come one who is more powerful than I, whose sandals I'm not fit to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. John's ministry, He baptized, he immersed people into water. And Jesus, his is a baptism ministry as well, except not in water. No, he instead baptizes, he immerses people in the Spirit. Can I share the saying that we considered even just a moment ago? Why would any church, why would any believer want to ignore or neglect, even worst of all, reject the person, the work of the Holy Spirit? Why would any church, why would any believer want to miss the ministry of Jesus? And again, even as we saw it a moment ago, do you recognize the disconnect here? The ministry of Jesus to help us, to guide us, to lead us, to direct our steps in the way that we should go. The ministry of Jesus to provide for us. Do you understand? The ministry of Jesus to heal us, to encourage us, to comfort us, to speak life and joy and peace in and over us. The ministry of Jesus, yes, we'll take that. We want that. We need that. But the ministry of Jesus, our baptizer in the Holy Spirit, all of a sudden, no. No, we don't want that. All the ministry of Jesus, wonderful and welcome, except his ministry of baptism. Listen, even as it was with the gifts of the Father, so it is with the ministry of the Son. Anything that Jesus wants to do in you, anything that Jesus wants to do for you, anything that Jesus wants to do through you, however he wants to minister, listen to me, New Life, however he wants to minister in this place, listen to me, my brother, my sister, however he wants to minister in your life, listen, you want that. You don't want to miss that. New Life, we want that. We don't want to miss it. The truth this morning, Jesus wants to minister. He wants to minister here. He wants to minister in your life and in mine. He wants to help. He wants to heal. He wants to encourage. He wants to comfort. He wants to give wisdom. He wants to give guidance and direction. He wants to provide. He wants to bless. He wants to do miracles. Oh, miracles so great in your life and in mine. He wants to, of course he does, because that's his ministry. And he wants to minister. He wants to minister here at New Life because we are his church. And he wants to minister in your life, my brother, because you're his son. And in your life, my sister, because you are his daughter. Listen this morning, whatever your need, Jesus wants to minister to your need. And listen now, the truth. He wants to fill this place. He wants to fill your life and mine with his Holy Spirit. Listen, he wants to baptize you this morning in his Holy Spirit. He wants to. Listen, of course he does, because that's his ministry. And he wants to minister today in this place because we're his church. In your life, my brother, because you're his son. In your life, my sister, because you are his daughter. The Holy Spirit, who he is, he's the gift of the Father. He's the ministry of the Son. And third this morning, he's the helper for you and for me. In John chapter 14, in verse 15, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. The actual word here, the Holy Spirit, he is the paraclete. He's the comforter, he's the counselor, he's the advocate, he's the helper. Really best probably to say it this way, he's the one who comes alongside. He's the one who walks alongside of you to defend you, to protect you in times of trouble, to give you strength and courage, to guide and to lead, to bring peace, to put at ease, to reassure you. He's the one who comes alongside. He's the one who walks alongside. Even if we could say it this morning, he's the one who sits with you this morning. He's the one who gets in the car with you this afternoon. He's the one who goes with you into your tomorrow. for the purpose of this, to help you. There's a key word here to help us to understand the beauty of this. Look at it again in John 14. If you love me, you keep my commands, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper. Do you understand? Another implies that there was another. There was a first. Now the Spirit is the another one. It begs the question, who was the first? Who was the other before the another? The answer is, of course, Jesus. So consider it in that context then, especially from the disciples' perspective. All that Jesus was to them, all that he did for them, how he walked alongside them, how he helped them. The Holy Spirit would be, the Holy Spirit would do exactly the same. Now then, consider that in the context of John 16. Jesus says, I'm going. And you're not going to believe this, but it's actually better that I go. Because if I go, I can send another helper to you. And the another helper, he's not going to be with you like I've been with you. Do you remember, disciples? I wasn't always with you. You looked for me, but I had left that place and I was off in a secret place praying. Do you remember, disciples? I sent you in the boat ahead of me, met you later on the water. I wasn't always with you, but if I can go to the one who sent me, when I get to the one who sent me, I can send then to you the another helper. And he will always be with you. And in fact, not just with you, he's going to be in you. He's going to dwell inside you. Do you understand? Listen, my brother, my sister, in the person and the work of the Holy Spirit, you have the comforter. You have the counselor. You have the advocate. You have the one who defends you, protects you in times of trouble, gives you strength and courage when you need it the most, guides and leads you, brings you peace, a calm assurance to settle over your life. You have him in you because of that. You can't ever possibly be in a situation where you don't have his comfort, his counsel, his defending and protecting, strengthening and encouraging, guiding and leading. Listen, you can't ever possibly be in a situation where you don't have his peace. In the person and the work of the Holy Spirit, you have the paraclete, the one who comes alongside, who walks alongside you, so that he might help you. You get it, but still once more, you understand, you can't ever possibly be in a situation where you don't have his help. The person of the Holy Spirit, the gift of the Father, the ministry of the Son, the helper for you and for me. No wonder how important, how necessary, how vital it is for us to know and to make room to experience the person of the Spirit in our own lives and in this place. Always our message, not just who he is, but what he does. The Holy Spirit, his work. Let me just take you through scripture quickly this morning. Romans chapter 8, the Holy Spirit, he helps us to put to death the misdeeds of the flesh. The Spirit sets us free from the sins we cannot get rid of on our own. I like how one says it. By way of the Spirit, there's no more condemnation for sin, and there's no more control of sin. You used to be under its control. You used to be its slave. But the Spirit has set you free and empowered you to live in victory now over any and every sin. Mark chapter 13, Luke chapter 12. The Spirit helps us to speak when we're in difficult and even dangerous situations. Need to bear witness to Jesus, but don't really know what to say. The Spirit helps us. Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. The Spirit helps us to be God's witnesses throughout all the earth. He gives us power so that we can testify to the goodness, the grace, and the mercy, the salvation of Jesus. He gives us power so that we can work, so that we can do His work with greater effectiveness. In Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 19, Paul's request for prayer is that words would be given to him so that he could fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel. That's what the Spirit does. He gives us the words and He gives us the fearlessness. If you don't have the words, you need the work of the Spirit to be at work in you. If you don't have the fearlessness, you need the work of the Spirit to be at work in you. In Romans chapter 8, again, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. He intercedes for us. One writes, the Holy Spirit comes alongside us in our sorrow. Have you ever hurt so bad you couldn't even pray? All you could do is groan. But the Holy Spirit says, I will groan with you. I will pray for you. And I will intercede for you before the Father. The author continues, thank God the groanings of the Holy Spirit. His groans remind us we're not alone, but they also comfort us as He takes our needs to the Father, even when we don't know what to say. Listen now, because of the Holy Spirit, every hurt can turn into a hallelujah. Every tear into a pearl. Every midnight into a sunrise. And every Calvary to a resurrection. According to John 16, we would not have known Christ if the Spirit had not come and made Him known to us. Made Him real to us. John chapter 3 and verse 6. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit. Do you understand? Listen, no one comes to Jesus unless the Spirit draws them. It's the Spirit of God active in our lives, reaching out to us before we ever even knew anything about God. In Genesis chapter 1, at the very beginning of God's story, we're introduced to the Spirit of God. He was hovering over the waters. And maybe we could say it this way, just like at creation, before your story ever really began, the Spirit was hovering over your heart, helping you to come to an awareness of Jesus, taking the words and actions of others and magnifying Jesus to you through them, speaking to you, letting you know you need a Savior, you need Jesus. It was the Spirit opening your heart, opening your life to something, really best to say, to someone you never were open to before. Helping you to see your need for someone you never saw a need for before. Listen, today you sit here in the comfort of your salvation, saved and sanctified, set free, washed clean by the blood of the Lamb. But you do so only because of the wonderful, marvelous work of the Spirit in you. He opened your ears to hear. He opened your eyes to see. He opened your heart to receive your Savior, to receive Jesus. You understand? Listen, isn't it true? Forget all the rest. If this is the sum and summation of what the Spirit can do and does, aren't you glad for His work in your life? You could know Jesus apart from Him. Aren't you glad you know Jesus? Aren't you glad then for the work of the Spirit in you? Not only does the Spirit bring us to Jesus, He helps us to know how to live for Jesus. He gives us the power to live for Jesus. He draws us ever closer to Jesus. Romans chapter 8 and verse 13, for if you live according to the sinful nature, you'll die, but if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you'll live. Because those who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. For you did not receive a spirit that makes you a slave again to fear, but you received the Spirit of sonship. And by way of Him, we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit testifies with our spirit that we're God's children. Now, if we're children, then we're heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. If indeed we share in His sufferings in order that we also may share in His glory. In Galatians chapter 4, because you're sons, God sent the Spirit of His Son into our hearts. The Spirit who calls out, Abba, Father. So you're no longer a slave, but a son. And since you're a son, God has made you an heir. It's the work of the Spirit that reminds us who we are and whose we are. It's the work of the Spirit that leads us into an intimacy with the Father. It's the work of the Spirit by which the redemptive benefits of salvation are bestowed on us. We are children. I am a son. You are as well, my brother. You are a daughter, my sister. And we are all together, every one of us, in and because by way of the Spirit's work in us, we are heirs, joint heirs with Jesus. Romans chapter 5 and verse 5. Hope does not disappoint us because God has poured out his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit whom he's given to us. It's the work of the Spirit that lets you to know and experience God's love for yourself. And listen now, it's the work of the Spirit that helps you love others with the love of God. Can I remind you, the world will know we belong to him, that we are his disciples by our love. Listen to me this morning. If you have a hard time loving someone, you don't need them to change. You need more of the work of the Spirit in you. You understand how beautiful the work of the Spirit helps us to know the love of God. Have you experienced that? So simple, isn't it? We know it. Even the world out there would say it. God's love. We know his love. We've been the recipients of love. But you know as well those moments, maybe at an altar, maybe in the middle of worship, maybe in your own prayer closet, maybe even driving down the road, there was just this wonderful awareness of God's love for you. You just knew that you knew that you knew that you knew the God of heaven and earth loved you. Nobody else maybe did. You felt that nobody else did. But in that moment, you knew that God loved you. Do you understand this morning? That was the Spirit at work in your life. That was the Spirit making you to be aware of that. And it's the Spirit that helps us to love even the most unlovable. It's hard to grasp the reality of. It's hard to come to terms with. But do you understand, my brother, my sister, you are without excuse. It doesn't matter them. You have the Holy Spirit at work in you, bringing out of you the very love of God for that person. Listen, in the church, we ought to love more than this world loves. We ought to love even those that the world hates. We ought to love with a divine love. You go through the list. It doesn't matter the color. Doesn't matter the religion. It doesn't matter our friendship or lack thereof. It doesn't matter how obnoxious they are. It doesn't matter how rude they are. It doesn't matter how respectful they are. It doesn't matter how old they are. It doesn't matter how young they are. Go on and on through the list. You have to hear me, my brother. You have to hear me, my sister. You are without excuse in your love for that one because the Spirit of God is at work in you and ought to be then making to flow out of you a divine love for any and everyone that you would encounter. According to John 16, the Spirit's work, he reminds us of Satan's defeat. He lets us to know, reminds us that the devil's days are numbered. Aren't you glad for that this morning? That the battle with evil will end, the enemy will be defeated, and Jesus will reign eternal. Hallelujah. The Spirit reminds us of that. You understand this morning? If there's any excitement in your heart, the sound of a trumpet, soon and very soon, we're going to see the King. The Spirit's making that to be so in you. That's the Spirit's work, my brother, my sister. In John chapter 16 and verse 12, I have much more to say to you, more than you can now bear. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. The Holy Spirit guides us into all truth. Like in a wilderness, lost. We don't know how to get out. We don't know where to go. A guide comes with compass, familiar with the terrain, shows us the way to go. That's the Holy Spirit. He will guide you into all truth. Don't know the truth? Listen, trust in the work of the Spirit. He will guide you in the truth. He will guide you in God's Word. Listen, it's the Spirit's work that makes the Word to come alive to us. He will remind you of all the words of Jesus when you need to be reminded the most. We already alluded to it, Romans chapter 8, the Spirit will guide you in prayer when you don't know how to pray, when you don't know what to pray for. The Spirit intercedes for us and through us. The Spirit will guide you in God's will. He knows the heart. He knows the mind. He knows the will of the Father, after all. And He will make that known to you. He will reveal that to you. He will guide you and lead you into that. Listen, if you're here this morning and you're struggling, I thought I knew God's will, but I'm not sure if I do. I'm all of a sudden wondering if I do. All of a sudden, I'm at a crossroads. I don't know God's plan. Is it for me to go to the right? Is it for me to go to the left? I don't know. I don't know what God wants. Listen, you need to trust the work of the Spirit. The Spirit knows. Can I say it to you this way? Not discounting what the Spirit reveals. But listen, don't worry about what you know. Worry about who you know and who lives inside you. The Spirit of God lives inside you. My brother, my sister, you don't need to worry about God's will and God's plan. You just need to worry about staying in step with the Spirit. When you hear His voice, to go to the right. When you hear His voice, to go to the left. You stay in step with the Spirit. A life of that, and you'll look back on a life lived in the exact center of God's will and God's perfect plan for your life. The Spirit will guide you. The Spirit will lead you in that. In Romans chapter 8, if Christ is in you, your body is dead because of sin, yet your spirit is alive. And if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, then He will quicken your mortal bodies through His Spirit. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, now the Lord is the Spirit. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's freedom. Listen, only by way of the Spirit's work can we truly live. Only by way of the Spirit's work can we truly experience freedom. Only by way of the Spirit's work can we truly live in freedom. According to Romans 15, it's by the work of the Spirit, it's by the power of the Spirit that we abound with hope. We're filled with hope. We overflow with hope. We are peddlers of hope to a world who knows so little of hope because of the work of the Spirit in us. In 1 Corinthians 12, the message of wisdom and knowledge, faith, gifts of healing, miraculous powers, prophecy, discernment, the work of the Spirit within the church. Galatians chapter 5, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace and patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness and self-control. Against such things there is no law. The Spirit is our sanctifier, can we say it that way? Producing those attitudes and actions in our lives, even more so, making those actions and attitudes to characterize our lives. Not to show up once in a blue moon, my brother, my sister. No, but for our lives to be characterized by those things. The Spirit transforms us into the likeness of our Lord. I was thinking of that in this context. Matthew chapter 12. A good tree produces only good fruit, and a bad tree produces bad fruit. You can tell what a tree is like by the fruit it produces. You bunch of evil snakes, how can you say anything good? Your words show what's in your heart, because good people bring good things out of their hearts. Evil people bring evil things out of their hearts. I promise you that on the day of judgment, everyone will have to account for every careless word they've spoken. On that day, they will be told that they're either innocent or guilty because of the things they've said. The Spirit, do you understand? He changes us from the inside out. And as the Spirit does that work in us, you understand, our heart becomes right. The root, the tree becomes right. And so then what does the tree produce? Because the tree has become good, it begins to produce the good fruit. love and joy, peace and patience and kindness and goodness and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control. My brother, my sister, listen, let the Spirit change you on the inside. Don't worry so much about, I'm going to try to do the thing that shows the fruit of love. I'm going to try to do the thing every now and then that shows a little patience, that shows a little kindness. No. Give yourself to the Spirit's work. Let Him change you on the inside so that the only fruit, the fruit you're always and only producing, is the good fruit, the Spirit fruit. Galatians chapter 5, John chapter 4, the time is coming and has now come when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for they are the kind of worshipers the Father seeks. God is spirit and His worshipers must worship in spirit and in truth. It's the work of the Spirit that enables us to worship God as He deserves and as He desires. Really best to say not just as He deserves and desires, but as He demands. John chapter 7, on the last and greatest day of the feast, Jesus stood and said, "If anyone's thirsty, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, streams of living water will flow from within him." By this he meant the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were later to receive. Up to that point, the Spirit had not been given since Jesus had not yet been glorified. The Spirit is given so that by the Spirit's work, rivers of living water might flow from you, watering the dry and thirsty land all around you. Acts chapter 9 and verse 31, then the church throughout Judea, Galilee, and Samaria enjoyed a time of peace. It was strengthened and encouraged by the Holy Spirit. It grew in numbers, living in the fear of the Lord. Strength comes from the Spirit. Encouragement comes from the Spirit. Unity, the bond of peace, comes from the Holy Spirit. Growth comes because of the Holy Spirit. We could go on forever. We can't. We don't have the time. We summarize simply this way. My brother, my sister, listen, for all that He does, what a blessing to have the Holy Spirit at work in our lives. May He ever be at work in your life, in mine, and in this place. I'm going to Him who sent me. Because I've said these things, you're filled with grief, but I tell you the truth, it's for your good that I'm going away. Unless I go away, the Counselor will not come to you, but if I go, I'll send Him to you. That's the truth. Hear it, believe it, you know it. One more time as well. Live in it. It's been the same conclusion every Sunday. Welcome the Holy Spirit into your life. Make room for Him. Make Him to be your passionate pursuit. As He prompts, as He ministers, as He reveals Himself to you, ready yourself to embrace Him and His work. Make it your constant and consistent prayer for you, for this church, for the church family. Holy Spirit, be welcome. Holy Spirit, have your way. Reveal yourself. Do your work. Be sensitive to what the Spirit says. Be sensitive to what the Spirit wants to do. Let down the walls, open wide the gates that the Spirit may come in. Let Him work in you without limit, without restraint. Wait on Him, wait for Him, stay in step with Him. You hear the truth this morning. You believe it, now live in it. Listen, my brother, my sister, be filled with the Holy Spirit. Be filled and keep on being filled. Father, I pray this morning that You would minister to this people. Jesus, even as we considered it for a few moments ago, would You do Your ministry in this place? And would You fill this people with Your Spirit? Oh, let Your Spirit be freely at work in us. We open our hearts to receive that. We open our hearts to ready ourselves for that. We welcome the gift of the Father. We welcome the ministry of Jesus. We welcome our helper this morning, our comforter and counselor. Holy Spirit, do Your work. Holy Spirit, have Your way in us this morning. Do as only You can do. Do as only You can do. heads bowed and eyes closed, I want to give you just a minute. Would you respond to the message this morning? Would you give yourself to the work of the Spirit, what the Spirit is speaking to you? You know it. You sense it this morning. What's the Spirit saying to you? Would you give yourself to that? Say yes to the Spirit this morning. Come on, listen now. Invite the Spirit to come rest on you. Invite the Spirit to come work in you. Make Him welcome in your life. Just for a moment. Just for a moment. You meet with Jesus. Let Him be your baptizer. Say, Jesus, I want all the ministry. I want all the ministry of the Son. I want all the gifts of the Father. I don't want to exclude myself from any. Not one. Holy Spirit, then come. Come rest on me. Gift of the Father, come rest on me. Ministry of the Son, come rest on me. My Comforter, oh, my brother, my sister, you need the Comforter this morning. You need the Counselor this morning. You need an Advocate this morning. Helper, come. Come. Come rest on me. Come rest on us. Rest over this place, we pray. Hallelujah. Meet with Him this morning. Open your heart, my brother, my sister. Make it your prayer. Make it your cry. Come move over us. Come rest on us. Make this your prayer this morning. You're all we want. This the thing that we want. Come rest on us. This the thing that we need. Come rest on us. Come on, tell Him now. You're all. You're all. Holy Spirit, you're all we want. You're all we need. You, your work. Lord, we make that to be our prayer this morning. Heads bowed and eyes closed. Listen, take a moment before we partake of the bread and the cup this morning. Listen, I believe this, the Spirit's work, according to Scripture, He glorifies Jesus. He magnifies Jesus. And this morning in this place, He would direct our attention to Jesus. He would remind us this, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He would help us to know how to live rightly in response to that. He would show us, He would point to areas in our lives. I don't know how else to say it. Jesus died for you. and you're talking like that. Jesus died for you, and yet you're still loving the world more than you're loving him. Jesus died for you, and yet you still won't surrender that thing to him. Listen, let the Spirit do his work in you. Remind you of Jesus' death at Calvary for you. And let you to know how you rightly live in response to that. Holy Spirit, speak to our hearts this morning. Prepare us that we rightly partake this morning of the bread and of the cup. Help my brother, my sister this morning as you're speaking to them in this moment, that we not neglect, that we not ignore, that we not miss the work of the Spirit, so that we might rightly partake in just a moment of the broken body of our Lord and the shed blood of Jesus. We want to partake rightly this morning. We want our hearts to be right. Holy Spirit, help us that our hearts be right. That we live rightly in response to what Jesus, all that Jesus has done for us. Help us, Lord, to hear what the Spirit says, to do what the Spirit says, to respond rightly to what the Spirit says. On the night that he was betrayed, Jesus took the bread, he broke it, he gave thanks. His body broken for us so that we might experience healing. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Healing in Jesus' name. Let's partake of the bread together. And Jesus took the cup, he gave thanks. This is his blood shed for us, by which our sins are forgiven. We thank you, Jesus, that though our sins be as scarlet, you wash us white as snow. We thank you for that in Jesus' name. Let's partake of the cup together. Would you stand to your feet this morning? I'm going to pray the blessing of the Lord over you. Just before I do, would you just lift your hands and thank Jesus for the cross of Calvary? Would you thank him for his broken body and his shed blood? Hallelujah. We thank you, Jesus. Thank you for what it means for us. Thank you for what you've done for us. Thank you when all we deserve was death and hell. You showed us mercy and grace, and bestowed on us life. We thank you, we thank you, we thank you. In Jesus' name, hands lifted, receive the blessing of the Lord this morning. My brother, my sister, the Lord bless you and keep you. May he make his face to shine upon you. May he be good and gracious to you. May he turn to you and give to you his peace. In Jesus' name. Would you receive that? Would you say amen? Amen and amen. God bless you this morning.